If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
The Daily Show is taking a break this week, but don't worry, we handpick some of our favorite episode highlights from the archives just for you. We'll be back with brand new episodes next week. In the meantime, enjoy today's episode.
Our guest tonight is a third-term congressman from New Jersey who's running for U.S. Senate. Please welcome Representative Andy Kim.
Thank you. It's nice to see our Asian representative.
Thank you.
Andy Kim, House of Representatives. You're currently running to replace, are you running for Senate?
That's right.
To replace the previous guy in New Jersey who got caught with gold bars in his house.
That's right.
Right. So,
yeah.
I guess
that's
my
a big no-no in politics.
Right. What do you have against gold bars?
Yeah, apparently I'm anti-gold bars.
Yeah. Anti-Federal Reserve guy? Is that your platform?
Ouch. Okay, this is getting a heated interview right out of the gate here.
But you're running for Senate.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something I plan to do. You know, I'm a three-term member of the House of Representatives. I got a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, 2 little boys at home. So I was not, you know, planning to take on a statewide election. But look, I mean, right now, I mean, I'm sure the audience feels it too. I mean, we live in the time of the greatest amount of distrust in government in modern American history. And 84% of people in New Jersey believe that their politicians are corrupt. Like 84%. Like, how can...
Well, they were kind of validated.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So you're wondering what's wrong with the other 16%, right?
Yeah. They're just not that educated?
No, look, I mean, we have to... Yeah, I believe that the opposite of democracy is apathy. It's if people give up on this, if feel like their elected officials are not in it for the right reasons. So I feel like at this critical moment, we have to restore a sense of integrity back into our politics and try to do our best to give the people of New Jersey a choice.
Sure. And yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're running in a district that, if I'm not wrong, voted for Donald Trump twice.
Well, my congressional district, yeah. In 2018, yeah. I was part of the class of 2018 that flipped the House of Representatives, tried, you know, take that away from Donald Trump.
Sure.
And I won a district that Trump won. And in 2020,
right.
I was one of only 7 Democrats in the entire country that won a district Trump won.
Sure.
So, yes.
So, and you're been... So, it's you won in a district that Trump won, and you're, I'm assuming, a minority in that district, both in race and...
Yeah, my district is 85% white, less than 3% Asian. When I was first elected, there were 0 Korean Americans in Congress.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of people tell me there's no way that an Asian American can win a district where the vast, vast majority...
So how the hell did you win it? No, seriously, how the hell did you win it? Because if you won it, then...
What I'll say is...
No offense. But,
yeah, yeah, I mean, no offense. No, look, I think what I learned is that, like, I'm not going to let other people determine what I am or am not capable of accomplishing simply because of the color of my skin and my last name. You know, this was... This is the district where I grew up. I did my entire kindergarten through 12 in the public school systems of my congressional district. I'm raising, you know, 2 little boys in that school system. Like, I have every bit as much right to represent that district as anybody else. And I have every bit as much right to represent my state as anybody else.
I will say that is both inspiring to hear and a little gross. That's a lot of time in New Jersey. I guess that's... Wow, you're really New Jersey.
Yeah.
God bless. Well, I think you talk about this feeling in America right now. We feel very divided.
Yeah.
But in the House, you guys just had, you just passed this bipartisan bill. Funding for Ukraine, Taiwan, we had the TikTok bill in there as well. Mike Johnson seemed to want to cross the aisle and work with you guys. What is this? Is this the beginning of some sort of bipartisan coalition, or is this a one-time spring fling?
No, look, I think what he realized is he has no other choice. Mm-hmm. He can either be a speaker that gets zero things done for the entire time that he is speaker. Everything that he's done, whether it's passing our government funding or anything else, it's required us on the Democrat side to be there with him. Basically, you know, he and Hakeem Jeffries are co-speakers of the House right now. There's nothing that the Speaker of the House, Johnson, can get done without Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats. And So look, it's out of necessity in that way. I mean, you know, I hope that there are some places where we can find some agreement, but I'll be honest with you, like, I'm not holding my breath. Mm-hmm. We'll see where things go. But, I mean, you guys, you know, you all see it. I mean, I basically work in the world's worst reality TV show. You know, it's just like...
Well, speaking of that, I mean, you are on the ground there. You know, presumably you talk with these people every day, if not all the time. You know, so I guess my question is, like, how is it different to what we're seeing on TV? Your vibe on the ground in Congress, is it as divisive as what we think it looks like on Instagram? Or is it, when you guys are in the same room, is it more like, hey, you know,
like finger guns, towel snaps, all that kind of thing?
Yeah. How did you know? That's exactly what it's like. No, I mean, look, it's very frustrating. I'm not gonna, you know, and I say that as someone who's never thought that I'd be in politics. I don't enjoy that aspect of it so much. But I mean, look, you know, one of my colleagues, I guess I call him that, Matt Gaetz, for instance. You know, he has this line where he says, you know, if you're not making news, you're not governing. And I just think that that's so indicative of what's wrong with our politics right now. You know, it's this idea. You know, it's this idea that you're equating attention with governance. You know, that's absolutely the wrong thing. You can see how someone who has that kind of mindset is then incentivized to just say crazy things. Mm-hmm. You know, so, like, I always think about it. If you gamify Congress, you know, if Congress is a game and you think of what is the point system, you know, it's like people are chasing, you know, the likes online, the followers on social media, you know, the money into their fundraising, the how many cable news hits they've done, you know, things like that. And, like, you know, I have colleagues of mine who are more interested in being social influencers rather than lawmakers.
Sure.
And
sure.
And that's really crazy. Sure. You know, sure. Like, I get to work. Like, I get to work a job whose job description is in the Constitution of the United States. Like, me as a son of immigrants, a public school kid, gets to do that kind of work. Like, that should be a deeply humbling experience, not some platform for you to just go chase your ego and your ambition.
Sure. That being said. That being said.
Just Andy Kim Raggy over here.
Yeah.
Thank you for not chasing attention.
I handpicked every single one of them to come in from Jersey.
You would never chase attention, but we do appreciate you coming on our television show.
Thank you so much.
It's not about life.
No, this is I'm a humble man.
A humble man, Comedy Central appreciates it. I am curious, though. Democratic Party is an interesting place right now, and I think this last bill that just got passed had funding for Israel with very few conditions put upon it. The more progressive wing of the Democratic Party wants there to be more conditions with Israel funding. How do you balance that right now? It seems as if the progressive side of the Democratic wing is wants more from a Democratic Party that's not willing to give it.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, I think what we need is to be able to move forward and have as much leverage as possible. What we see is that, you know, Netanyahu is taking a path forward that I think is very dangerous. You know, dangerous for Israel, dangerous for our world. And we need to make sure that we're stepping up to be able to have as much strength as possible to be able to end this violence as soon as possible. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of Democrats feel that same way. A lot of my colleagues feel that same way. We're just trying to figure out how we can have, you know, that kind of approach going forward while addressing, you know, the humanitarian crisis. I mean, there's a famine that's imminent right now in northern Gaza. You know, that's devastating. We got to make sure that we're providing the kind of aid and support to that, while also making sure we're tackling all these other issues around the world. Mm-hmm. Ukraine, we have, you know, we were trying to pass humanitarian assistance for the catastrophe in Sudan, which is something that doesn't get enough attention. So, yes, you know, we got to make sure that we're pushing forward in all those directions.
I will say also, some of your colleagues made news talking about, in regards to this Ukraine funding bill, that
they're seeing Russian propaganda being echoed and talked about on the House floor. Are you seeing colleagues echo this Russian propaganda in terms of whether or not we should be funding Ukraine?
Absolutely. I mean, it's scary. It's scary to see how, you know, what we're seeing right now is basically a new movement of neo-isolationism, you know, something that's really about weakening America's position in the world. And just turning, not even just turning a blind eye to Vladimir Putin, but actually enabling him. And, you know, when I think about leaders in other countries, when they talk to me about what's happening, first they ask, you know, what is happening in America? And the second thing they ask is they say, is America a reliable partner? That's what they ask themselves. And the answer to that right now is no. We are not a reliable partner in the way that we can and should be. You know, and you see that with regards to Ukraine, and hopefully we're going to be able to provide some support. But that has a lot of impact in terms of how we're perceived all over the world with all sorts of other crises that are out there. So, you know, this is one of the biggest questions that we have of just what is America's role in the 21st century? What is the value of the American handshake right now? And that's very much under question right now in the world.
Right. And, just on that note, like, to solve a lot of problems that, you know, that are facing the
don't
country
point
right
to
now.
Me. Yeah, don't point to me.
I can't help with that.
The Asians are all, you know, making it happen.
Yeah, but like, I mean,
But, like, a lot of compromise is required. So when you're talking to, like, your best friend, Matt Gaetz, for example, like, when...
You did say that. I think I heard you say that. You did say that.
Your good friend, Matt Gaetz, when you are talking, is there some kind of, like, look, we put the cameras are off right now, let's just talk, or is it always just, you know, this guy's always on, you know, everyone's always on, even in private meetings, everyone's still... you know, yelling about Jewish space lasers and, you know, like...
When I came into Congress, I had a lot of people ask me, like, do they really believe what they say?
Yeah.
And when I first came in, I kind of came up with three categories. You know, there are sort of the traditional conservatives, of which there are very few of them left. There are the crazies, and you can, you know, Mad Libs, fill in the blank, whatever name you want. Mm-hmm. And then there are the cowards, you know, the people who know better, but just, you know, for their own purposes of staying in their jobs, they continue on. I'll be honest with you, just in the 5.5 years that I've been in Congress now, there are a lot more crazies than even when I started. Mm-hmm. And it's really alarming. I mean, like, some of them really do believe this. And I remember it, you know, on the night of January 6th when we came back into the House of Representatives after the insurrection. You know, hearing their speeches, like, watching them, like, only a few feet from them, and I could tell, like, some of them really do believe it. The big lie. They've bought into this. They're feeding it. And that's what I find so scary right now. You know, my first boss in government, he had this line. He said, you don't have good government unless you have good people working in government. And right now, you know, if you have a government that's filled with, you know, egotistical, narcissistic, power-hungry people, you will have an egotistical, narcissistic, power-hungry government. You know, so we have to try to find a way to be able to stop it. But part of their plan is to try to make government so toxic, politics so toxic, that reasonable, decent, you know, people don't want to participate. And that just leaves it for them.
Okay. Well, you know, thank you for your time. And as far as from what I'm hearing from you, I just think that we just need more Asian people to be running into Congress and fix everything. So, Representative Andy Kim, everybody.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
My guest tonight represents Texas's 32nd district and is running for the Senate against America's sweetheart, Ted Cruz. Please welcome Representative Colin Allred.
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, this is great. It's different from what I usually do. So.
Yeah, they're fun, right?
Now you guys are it's a little better than the House right now.
Just slightly. Yeah. That's not saying a lot. That's keeping the bar pretty low. You have such an interesting resume. You're a former NFL player, civil rights attorney. Congressman, and now currently running against Ted Cruz.
That's right. For the Senate.
Yeah. In Texas, as a Democrat, which is a bit of an uphill battle, right now you're currently polling at 6 points behind. Does it make it worse that you're lagging behind Ted Cruz, of all people?
Now, listen, I'm confident that on November 5th, the Texans are going to come out and show who we really are. I think we've had enough of 12 years of having, you know, an embarrassment, one of the most divisive senators in the country. Somebody who, you know, I think fundamentally doesn't appreciate who we really are as Texans. I'm a fourth-generation Texan. I was raised by a single mom in Dallas. You know, you mentioned what I've been able to do, but I was able to do that because I had a lot of help from my community, from my state. I want to make sure that we can have somebody who actually cares about us in the Senate.
You have said before that Texas doesn't have to be embarrassed by their senator. What is the most embarrassing thing about Ted Cruz? Is it that he fled to Cancun while Texans were in the dark and cold, or that time that he didn't feel the booger on his lip for so long? Burned in my memory.
You know, I think there's the antics, right? There's like the, you know, reading Green Eggs and Ham on the Senate floor while you're trying to take health care away from 40 million people. There's stuff like that. There's the fact that he podcasts 3 times a week, which is a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
You know, sitting United States Senator. Yeah. But, you know, when you had that little rolly bag when he's coming back from Cancun.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's frustrating going through those little rope lines at any time.
Uh-huh.
When you're going through it alone to explain why you abandoned your state during a statewide crisis, that was really embarrassing.
That was the topper. You're a father of two,
yeah.
And you were one of the first members of Congress to take paternity leave. First of all, thank you for your service. And secondly, why is that so rare among your colleagues?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't know that I was going to be the first when I did it. I thought that it was just a normal thing to do.
You'd think.
And, you know, I grew up not knowing my father. And so for me, I knew that when we had kids, that I was going to do it right. And that starts at the beginning. And there's so much... We've learned a lot. There are so many benefits for when men take leave in those early days. It's better for the men themselves, for their spouses, for their kids. And, you know, this is not available to every American. And I want to make sure that it is. And so that's one of the things I've been working on. Because, you know, you and I both know that those early days are tough.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're welcoming you know, your bundle of joy is also coming with a whole lot of other things that are changing your life. And, you know, I don't think it's right that we're the only major developed country in the world that doesn't have a national paid leave policy.
Texas was one of the first states to criminalize abortion. What would be your plans to protect and restore women's reproductive rights?
As you mentioned, my wife and I, we've had two boys in Dallas in the last 5 years, and I went to every ultrasound appointment, every genetic testing. And you know, those rooms, when you're having those conversations with your doctor, they're too small to have somebody like Ted Cruz in there with you. What's happening in Texas is really, it's a tragedy. We've had 26,000 women who've had to get birth to their rapist child since these laws went into place. We've had stories like, you know, Kate Cox, who was a mother of two, who had a much-wanted third pregnancy. She had to go to the emergency room four times. Her doctor said she needed a medically necessary abortion, and she asked her state, can I have it close to home, because I have a 1- and a 3-year-old at home. And they said no, and they didn't just say no. It's, if you do this, we're going to prosecute you, your doctor, your hospital. We have counties saying you can't drive through the county if you're going to use the roads to access an abortion. I mean, that doesn't sound like freedom to me. And I know one thing about us as Texans is that we believe in freedom. To me, the only way that we can restore this right to Texas women and families is at the federal level by codifying Roe v. Wade. And I'm listening to what we're doing.
Voter turnout is going to be critical for you to flip the seat. It's been estimated that 9.5 million registered voters didn't vote in the last election. How will you encourage Texans to get out and vote? And does it rhyme with schmishmortion?
Well, as you mentioned, I was a civil rights lawyer, but I was a voting rights lawyer specifically before I ran for Congress. And, you know, to me, there's nothing more important than getting, you know, Texans and our fellow Americans engaged in our democracy. And in Texas, we make it way too difficult to vote. But I want folks to know there's a reason why they're trying to make it harder for you to vote. Why are they trying to take your voice away? Why are they trying so hard to make it difficult for you to be engaged? Don't let them do it, right? And to our young people, you know, it's like one of these things where you wouldn't let your grandparents pick your playlist for the next 6 years. Don't let them pick your senator, right? You know? So. I mean, I think it's also true that we have to talk about what's at stake. You know, to me, in Texas, what's at stake is our fundamental freedoms. They've taken away a woman's right to choose, the ability to make your own decisions about your body. They're banning books. They're kicking kids out of school because of their hairstyle. I mean, to me, this is fundamentally about who we are as Texans and as Americans. And we have to restore freedom in Texas and across this country. And I think folks are going to come out and stand up for that.
Serve on the Foreign Affairs Committee. We just recently found out that 7 aid workers were killed in Gaza due to Israel airstrikes. Does that give you any hesitation to providing Israel with bombs?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, this is a horrible tragedy. And these folks were there to feed folks who are suffering from famine, extreme conditions. They've done it around the world. And to me, it's an incredibly noble venture that they're engaged in to try and make sure that we can combat these conditions. And, you know, as I see it, you know, October 7th was a tragedy, and the response, in many ways, has been incredibly difficult to deal with. Our role, I think, has to be to try and ensure that we, as we're negotiating for an extended ceasefire, that we have these hostages come home, and that we find a way forward in which there's two states existing peacefully next to each other. And that has to be our end goal. And we've had, you know, this has been our policy for some time, but in some ways I think it had drifted away. And in a strange way, I think this has highlighted the need that we come back to this, that we make sure that we have a peaceful and independent Palestinian state next to a stable, democratic, and Jewish Israeli state. And these folks can coexist, because we cannot continue down this road.
I appreciate the work that you do, and I so appreciate you being on the show tonight. I wish you the best of luck. Yeah. Representative Colin Allred, thank you.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts. Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central. And stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.